Let's open up our Bibles, if you could, to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark 11. And let's start with the top here, 11:1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, saith unto them, Go your way unto the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. I suggest you don't do that with somebody's Escalade or Lincoln. That might not work out too well for you. But verse 4, and they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And he sat on him, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they went, and they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That is known as the triumphal entry. And he entered on the back of an ass's colt, and the Bible says he had need of him. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Lord, some simple thoughts here tonight, and I pray that you might let us see them clearly, Father. And we are aware of how you use men. Lord, I pray that you might help us to see some simple lessons here tonight. And I pray that you might bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the text is a remarkable statement. I preached on it before in a different context. But down in verse 3, it says, if a guy comes out and questions why you're taking the colt, simply say, the Lord hath need of him. Now, that, and of course, the matching passage in Luke 19, and then there's another passage in John related to it that I'll talk about later under a different thought. I don't want to confuse things for now. Those are the only three places in the Bible, and it's the same incident. Those are the only three places in the Bible that anybody ever said that the Lord had need of anything. And so you can think about that for a minute. Only here did he need anything. Now, man's needy. Man needs God, but in a general sense, God doesn't need man. But he still said, I have need of this ass's colt. And this has to do, folks, with God's plans. It has to do with who he uses and what he uses and when and how and all those things. We should be careful to not go overboard and present God as some underpowered, dependent, needy God, because he don't need you. I mean, he doesn't need anything. If he can make a special whale to swallow Jonah, then he doesn't need anything. He can do what he wants to do. If he can bring water from a rock, he don't need anything. And yet, at the same time, it says that he does. The Lord hath power over the clay, but still in this case, he said, the Lord hath need of him. Also, it's important that you not flatter yourself, because certainly he doesn't need you. We're not indispensable. None of us. In another case with an ass, when the prophet wasn't doing right, he just had the ass talk. So he don't need you. He certainly used angels at various times. There are plenty of angels standing around waiting for orders, and they'll obey. So the Lord, you shouldn't get to thinking that the Lord has to have you. If he needs somebody to praise him, he can always have the stones do it. So not only should you not think of God as being, you know, needy. I need. It's not like that. It's not a weakness. The other thing you shouldn't think of is that you're somehow indispensable, because you're not. But he clearly limits himself in doing certain things a certain way, places restrictions on himself to use certain things, and in that respect, he has need. And so let me talk to you about that for a little while, and I'll just title this, "The Lord Hath Need of Him." And I hope that you can see, if you will, turn back to Zechariah chapter 9. This passage is quoted in both Matthew, in all Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But in Zechariah, next to last book of the Old Testament, Zechariah 9:9 is where this is originated from. And all the way back in Zechariah 9:9, the Lord says, well, I'm going to have my son come in on the back of an ass's colt. And he says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion," verse 9. "Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So that's where that came from. You should see from that, if the Lord said, you know, if the guy comes out and says, "What are you taking my donkey for?" Tell him the Lord hath need of him. That's a remarkable statement all by itself. But you need to understand that need is based on fulfilling the Word of God. God said back in Zechariah, "I'm going to do it this way." And so that's the way he was going to do it. And so in that respect, he restricted himself in needing that ass's colt. Okay? But it's based on fulfilling the Word of God. So God essentially made himself needful of the colt. Now, first of all, that ought to be a blessing to you, because that shows that God orders and controls things and fulfills things by precept. He makes promises. He says, "I'm going to do something this way," and that's how he does it. Now, it used to be more greatly appreciated in America because we used to be a nation of laws. We're no longer really a nation of laws. We're a nation of loopholes, or out-and-out crooks. And the simple point that I'm trying to make is that God made himself needful of this ass's colt. He did so because he does things on the basis of law and promise. It's amazing that God would limit himself to doing things exactly as he said, you know, for us 2,500, 3,000 years ago, that he does things that way. Now, the second part of this about the need being based on fulfilling the Word of God, so he forced himself to need an ass's colt. He committed himself to that. Now, Job 11 says that man is born as a wild ass's colt. Okay? So the man is likened to the ass. Well, he said this is about a need being based on fulfilling the Word of God. That ass is a type of a servant of God. He typifies a man. Okay? And I tell you what God said all the way through the Word of God. He said that he would use man. Ethiopian eunuch sits in his chariot and says, how can I understand except some man should guide me? The Lord uses men. The Lord has restricted himself to using men. And that ass, that colt, the foal of an ass, is a type of a man. Psalm 8 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" He said, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, God was so intent on using men that he sent his son as a man. And then he sent his son and then ordained men as ambassadors for Christ. The Lord uses men. He has restricted himself to using men. He could use angels. He could use all kinds of things, but he uses men. So he calls man to preach. He calls a man to witness. He calls a man to be an ambassador. He calls man to be a servant. He calls man to be a soldier. He calls him to be an example, a steward. He calls him to be a preacher, a pastor. And in the day, and apostles and teachers. He calls man to be useful. He calls man to be an encouragement. And I'm simply saying that he did that. That's a precept in the Bible. God always looked for a man to do something. And for a while he used angels and dreams and all those things. But in general, God's going to teach you something and set you forward. He's going to grant you some victory through a man. And so I wanted you to see that the need for that ass's colt was based on fulfilling the word of God, just the same way as his need for a man, which the colt typifies, is based on the word of God. The Lord needs men and women, but the Lord needs men. Now, with that said, I can say the second thing. If you'll read with me just one more time back in Mark chapter 11. Let me just touch the details again. Mark chapter 11. It says, Mark 11, 1, and when they came to Jerusalem unto Bethphage, Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. If any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosened. And sure enough, and certain of them which stood there said unto him, what do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto him, even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go. He said, the Lord hath need of him. And they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. Now, I wanted you to see there that the Lord had need of this ass. And that ass typifies a servant, a man. And that need is met by providential details. The need is met by the Lord doing some things. In the passage, you find that, sure enough, they go into the town where the Lord says, and the first thing they saw was, go your way into the village over against you. And it says, verse 4, and they went their way and found the colt tied by the door. The first thing they saw in the village was the colt tied by the door. Right where two ways met, just like the Lord said they'd find him. They found him tied. They found him. He was tied. They loosed him. And it was a place by where two ways met. Now, that ass is just a dumb beast. That ass had no part in putting himself in a position to be the ass that the Lord needed. I mean, for some reason, the ass and his mother, you'll see later, are there with him. And for some reason, his owner brought him to that place at this particular time, tied him by the door, and you just have to say that he was there providentially. The Lord sends folks in with timing. The two disciples show up. Sure enough, first thing they see, there he is. He's tied. They loose him. They bring him. It's a type of our salvation. Right? You need to be found. You were tied and bound. You need to be loosed, and you need to be brought. Now, when that happens for a man, we say, the Lord saved me, right? But you had a part in getting saved. You had a choice. This dumb donkey didn't have any choice. He just happened to be there because his owner brought him there. He didn't have a choice about coming. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't foresee anything happening, right? I'm saying this to say that there's a cooperative. If we're going to give God the glory for saving us, if you're going to give God the glory for using you, you also have to recognize that while it's God that put you in a position and laid out the elements so they can happen, you also have to admit that you have a part. For instance, timing. Just so happened, like in so many cases in the Word of God, one place where he said, where are we going to have the Passover? Well, you guys go into town, fall in behind the first guy you see with a pot of water on his shoulder. Follow him, and wherever he goes, you'll go in and tell the owner thereof that you have need of a place, and that's going to be the place. Well, that's a remarkable set of events. That's a remarkable timing. You know, just leave here. You're going to walk a couple miles, just go into town. First guy you see with a pot on his shoulder, follow him around. And wherever he goes in, go in and say, the Lord needs a place to have the Passover. And sure enough, it happened. And sure enough, that's where they held the Passover. And he said, I have the place ready. Weird. Timing. God, right? But the ass had no control over that. He had no control about when he and his mother and his master left home, and however far they came, 2 miles, 5 miles, 10 miles, and why they were there at this particular time, when it just so happened that the Lord's two disciples show up looking for an ass tied by the door. I mean, that's not the beast. That's just a dumb beast. He has nothing to say about it. But it's not quite the same with you. Because in some ways, you do control timing. The key is that you should be in a place where when the Lord is ready to use you, you're available. You know? Location. I said, go into town, and as you go in the village, you'll see the ass, etc. The location. The donkey had no willing part in it. Just a dumb beast. But that's not really you. But you control where you are. And so it follows that if you would put yourself in the place where the Lord would have you, he would be more likely to use you where you're at, rather than having to go find you somewhere or chase you in from somewhere else. Do you understand what I'm saying? I found this donkey where two ways met. Most of us have stood in a place before where two ways met. And it was a crossroads, and we had some decisions to make. And so you made a decision. It wasn't made for you. I'm drawing a difference between you and the dumb beast here. This is just an ass's colt the Lord used, and he did use him. But it was important that the ass's colt be in the right place at the right time so the Lord could use him. And God has a way of doing those things with us, but you greatly help yourself by being in the right place at the right time. If you happen to know a place where the Lord shows up on a regular basis, and you have any desire to be used by him or to see him or talk to him or to be spoken to by him, if I were you, I would be in that place. Because you control that part. Right? So I say, hit that need. It's remarkable. The Lord said, the Lord hath need of him. It's a remarkable statement. The Lord don't need nothing. Not really. And yet he restricts himself to needing this ass's colt. And that need was met via providential circumstances, by providential details. But you have a part in putting yourself where the ass should be. And if the Lord doesn't show up today, that's fine. You were still in the place where you should be. You see what I'm saying? All right, there's something else that I would have you see here, and this is a general observation. I hope that you can see, if we're going to make this ass, and he is, a type of a servant of God, and the Lord said, I have need of him, you might hope, and you might hope not, actually, you might hope that one day the Lord would find need for you. Yeah, you go to a Bible-believing church, and surely you hope at times the Lord might do something with you, right? Well, there's this. I would point out to you that the Lord's need was very utilitarian. It was a very common, very usual need. The Lord just needed an ass to do what an ass does. Haul stuff. It's just a very utilitarian thing, very usual, not impressive. There was no need for a special specimen of ass. The ass didn't need to be Secretariat. They said that Secretariat, the famous racehorse, was like a super bodybuilder of a horse. He was big, he was fast, he was sleek, he was muscular. He was what all men want to be. But, you don't need a prancing steed for what this ass was needed for. He just needed to carry the Lord for a few miles, right? So the need was very utilitarian. There was no need for Secretariat. There was no need for Samson, who was a horse. His breed was a Shire. He lived in the 1850s and 60s. He died at 20 years old. He was 7 feet 2 inches at the shoulder. He weighed 3,360 pounds. Now, if Jesus Christ had showed up on that big boy, that would have been impressive. But did you ever see anybody ride a donkey? Did you ever see anybody ride, not a donkey, an ass? You ever watch a Western? And all the other cowboys are on the prancing, Arabian cutting horses and stuff like that. And then some dork is on a ass. Big ears, ugly. All that kind of stuff, Their feet are hanging halfway to the ground. That's not a graceful gait. It's not a prancing stallion. It's not a beautiful animal. What I'm saying is, folks, the need was very utilitarian. The Lord didn't need that. One day the Lord comes back on Secretariat. One day the Lord comes back on an impressive steed. But he didn't ride into Jerusalem that day on one. He had no need for Big Jake, who actually just died this year, on June 28th of 2021 in Poinette, Wisconsin. He was the tallest living horse. He was 6 feet 10 inches at the shoulder. And I couldn't find a weight for him, but if the other one weighed 3,360 pounds, and this horse is probably over 3,000 pounds. Now, folks, that's a big horse. The average cowboy cutting horse does not weigh 3,000 pounds. It doesn't weigh 2,000 pounds. It probably doesn't weigh 1,500 pounds. A 1,500-pound horse is a big horse. You say, what are you saying, Brother Stevens? I'm telling you that the need, he says, I have need of him. A need of a little squat, ugly, ungraceful jackass? You need that? It's not impressive. It's not impressive. I'd like to say it's just a jackass. It's not graceful. It's not element. There's nothing romantic about it. Sir Galahad doesn't come and rescue the princess on a jackass. There's nothing idealistic about it. It's just extraordinarily common, utilitarian. Just a donkey that needs to carry 165 pounds for a while. I'd like to say that he needed him to do something that every ass can do. Every jackass that ever lived, outside of being crippled or something, can carry somebody of Jesus' size for a ways. I'm not aware that Jesus weighed 375 pounds. Okay? I'm saying that this ass that Jesus had need of was something he needed from him, something that every ass can do. And see, we're always looking, but the Lord did choose just him. So I want that one. Go into town and there's that one. I want him. And it didn't make the ass a celebrity either. There's no indication that after all the triumphal entry was over that they retired the ass to a Kentucky farm somewhere and made him a sire that could pass down his genes to multiple generations of asses, colts. I mean, he was just a common, ordinary jackass. And what the Lord needed him for was something anybody can do. One of the remarkable things that I've learned in the Word of God is that when you study Abraham, there are some remarkable things. And when you study Moses, there are remarkable things. And then when you study Noah, the things that he did were remarkable. But they were very common men. And really, there's no indication that you couldn't do exactly what they did if you had enough faith, enough humility, and were willing to obey. You say, you see, a lot of times the Lord doesn't need, you know, extraordinary talents. We have a tendency to think that way. Say, well, you know, Pat, preacher, I heard, you know, George Whitfield, you know, Benjamin Franklin measured how far he could hear him. He could hear him preach a mile away. Yeah, I know. Dr. Ruckman, he was a genius, and he wrote all these books and painted all these pictures and all this kind of stuff. He could draw and paint at the same time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I know I can't. But, you know, in the main, most people that God calls, basically anybody can do what they do. And while somebody may have a particular talent that the Lord, you know, takes and, you know, hones down to be able to use it, anybody could be trained largely to do it. If the Lord calls you, anybody can preach. You may have to work at it. But I'm just pointing out to you that his need was something that was very utilitarian. There was nothing, I mean, we romanticize it now, thinking of the little donkey who's carrying the Lord Jesus Christ on his back. And that much, okay, I get that. But that was something that absolutely any jackass in town could do. Very utilitarian. The need was very utilitarian. Now, look, if you will, while we're still in Mark, let me read this one to you. Mark chapter 11, verse 2. And he saith unto them, go your way unto the village over against you. As soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied. It emphasizes colt. Whereon never man set. Now go over with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And down in verse 15, John quoting from Zechariah, which we already read, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt." He's specified to be a colt. He's specified to be a foal. That is a young jackass. And so on this particular day, the Lord needed youth. He needed a young ass. Didn't need his mama alone. He didn't need his papa, wherever papa was. He needed the colt. He needed the foal. He needed him young. Now, God uses old people. He does. Noah was 600 years old. When Moses began his ministry to Israel proper, he was 80 years old. That was two-thirds of the way through his life. So those guys were old. But at the same time, you should remember that Moses' saga in his life began at his birth. And the Lord started doing something to Moses' heart when he was a boy, when he was young. Samuel was a little boy when the Lord started dealing with him. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. David was a boy when the Lord started dealing with him. Christ specified he wanted the colt, that he wanted the foal. And so that day he needed youth. It's not saying that he won't use somebody old, but it is saying that the younger you start, the better. Right? And the younger you start, the less you'll have to overcome. Now, with that being specified, and since we're in John, I want you to see John chapter 12. And there's a couple other things I can draw, and then I will be done, all right? But down in verse 15, once again, John 12, 15, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt." Now notice, these things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus had was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. Now I have to draw a line here, because plainly verse 16 is about the Lord's disciples. But plainly, this ass represents one of the Lord's servants. That's what we're drawing here, right? A picture of the Lord needing this ass. And the Lord does, in that respect, need men. He needs servants. And I just wanted you to see here with these disciples, and therefore disciples, that the disciples, the need is real before you fully understand. The disciples did not understand until it was all over. Hey, the ass was well long done with the Lord's usage for him before the disciples understood even what happened. And what you're going to find is that a lot more is understood in hindsight than it is in the present, or that it is in foresight. We're grateful for prophecy, and so we can foresee some things that happen. But in the end, you're more likely to be able to see more clearly in hindsight with the Lord than you can even with what He's doing right now. It's that way. And I just wanted you to see that the need is real before you even understand. And so you need the Lord to be able to use you before you even understand what He's doing. You need to be obedient. You need to come when He says come and go when He says go and do what He says do before you understand why. We want to understand why first. And the Lord just in the present is just not in the explaining business. Just doesn't give you the itinerary all the time. Doesn't say, now, I'm going to do it this way, and the reason I'm going to do it this way is because da-da-da-da-da-da. Spend 30 minutes with you and you go, oh, okay, well then I'll serve you. No, the need comes before anybody fully understands. So when the Lord says, I have need of him, you might just have to say, yes, sir, and go, rather than, but why? Which is what we do. Now, one last thing to say, and not everybody in the world might agree with this, I'm not quite sure, but if you will, let me take you back to Zechariah 9, but also Matthew 21. I think there's one other fold in this that's worth mentioning. Matthew chapter 21, and then that matches very closely with Zechariah 9. But Matthew 21, notice what is said here in Matthew 21. And notice verse 1, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, that then sent Jesus two disciples, saying to them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. Now, in all these other accounts, it's just loose him. But no, in Matthew, it's loose them. You see that? That was encouraging. Verse 3, if any man say unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. Now, let me go on down and cite verse 5, which is a repetition of Zechariah 9. Tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek. And notice sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. The need was not solitary. I'm going to make the case to you that I think Jesus Christ rode on both of them. First of all, the colt was a colt, and he was a foal. And so he was young. We've already discussed that. But it's interesting, too, that his mama was still with him. So that may mean that he wasn't even weaned yet. And so what I'm thinking about with that is that that's a young enough colt, a young enough foal, not even weaned yet, that the Lord is not going to ride him all the way in. He's going to ride his mama first and then get off, you know, within sight. So the colt, he doesn't want to break the colt. He doesn't want to break him down and ruin him, which says something for his compassion, you know. And so he's going to ride his mama first. And then when they get to a certain point, he's going to get off his mama and then ride the colt in, because that's what the prophecy says. He's going to ride the colt in. But, you know, he rode his mama first, I believe. Now, for somebody that's young, that means the Lord is going to limit his use of you, because he doesn't want to ruin you. He doesn't want to overuse you. He wants you to grow in knowledge and wisdom. He doesn't want you to wind up like Paul warned about in Timothy, falling into the devil's snares because you're proud, because the Lord rode you all the way in, the whole 5 miles, the whole 10 miles. No, the Lord's going to limit his use of you. You may not like the fact that he used you for a while, then he backed off and didn't use you anymore for a while because you're too young. He didn't want to mess the colt up. He didn't want to break him. He didn't want to ruin his back and his hips. Too much weight on an immature jackass. A jackass may very well have spent the rest of his life hauling around 200 or 300 pounds, but he was too young at this point to haul Jesus all the way he had to go. So I think the Bible, if I think that when it says that, I think it's meaning that the Lord rode the mama first and then rode the colt on into Jerusalem. But it was not a solitary endeavor. The need was not solitary. That means you're not going to be able to go it alone. In fact, you're going to need somebody to help you. In fact, you're going to need somebody more mature than you to help you. Sometimes it might be your mama, but you're going to need somebody else to help you that has more wisdom than you, that's carried some burdens before, and still fulfill the prophecy that he rode into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass. So I don't know if you've picked up anything for what the Lord might need. Just don't romanticize it. Don't think the Lord won't have you scrub a toilet, because he flat sure will. The Lord will flat sure have you do some stuff that you never thought about being a part of the ministry, because the Lord's needs are often utilitarian. You know, very seldom is the ministry what you think it's going to be like. See, you see this part and you think, oh, that looks fun. Yeah, well, you didn't spend all day yesterday getting ready either, and today too. But you also don't deal with everything else that comes down the pike on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. See what I'm saying? I mean, the Lord has always used, and he uses a preacher, the similitude for the preacher is an ox. Nothing pretty about that. Doop, doop, doop. Strong as mules, and just slogging through, plowing, pulling stumps, you know, just raw beef. But as far as being gallant and noble and, you know, the prancing steed, the, you know, romantic, idealistic, you know, unicorn. Nope. Nope. It's just an ox. And so this is just a donkey. And any donkey could do, any ass could do what that ass did. But the Lord chose him. You say, why? No clue. No clue. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I pray that you might give us some insight.